The man considered Italy's greatest opera composer died 100 years ago today. Giuseppe Verdi was so beloved by his countrymen that as he lay dying, people in Milan scattered straw outside of his home to mute the noise from passing carriages. Tonight, Placido Domingo will raise the roof at DAR Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., as he directs a gala performance of Verdi's Requiem. Placido Domingo joins us in Studio 4B here at NPR headquarters. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Help us understand your special feeling for the Requiem, if you could. It was, in fact, written as a requiem for a beloved poet.
How lucky we are that he wrote this absolutely marvelous work. You know, I mean, many critics, they have say that the Requiem, it sounds more like an opera than a requiem. For me, it's not quite so. I mean, knowing the music of Verdi, he went out of his way to really make a very profound religious piece. However, being as theatrical as he has been, especially in the Dies Irae,
Dies Irae is one of the sections
of
the Requiem.
Yes, absolutely, yes. He cannot help but really showing, you know, the really when God is upset, he's really upset.
Most people, I expect around the world, and maybe even in Italy, I dare say, wouldn't recognize the works of Alessandro Manzoni, the poet whom this piece of music memorializes. So what is there about the music that now lasts more than a century and reaches out to so many people?
For me, it has three aspects that are quite easy to find out during the work. First of all is, of course, the fear of death. Secondly is the praying to God to save us. And the third thing is the joy of joining him in heaven. So there are three different ideas during the piece, and you can hear it accordingly, either if you are in the Offertorio, or you are in the Ingemisco, or you are in the Dies Irae, in the Sanctus, in the Libera Me. In the Libera Me, you already hear the great, great admiration that he feels for Manzoni when it was the Requiem thought, you know. And he doesn't want the piece to be taken as an opera. As I said, he cannot help being theatrical in some moments because, as I said, it's something, and he reminds us four times the Dies Irae theme. It comes during the piece, you know, in a way that we should be aware that with all the generosity and all the understanding that God has for people, when he's angry, he's angry. And you really feel it there, and it reminds you, it's the constant feeling that you have all across the Requiem.
I wonder, you have just turned 60, very publicly, parties thrown for you. Does your understanding of Requiem change over the years?
Well, of course it changes. When I was singing my first Requiem, I was hardly 30. And of course I knew the piece even before. I saw it as one more mass, you know, one more piece to sing. Later, you start to understand better and better the grandeur of the score. And also, you realize that death is part of life. And there is one day that we are all going to have our own requiem. But this is the right direction, you know. It's two things that you cannot avoid, you know. Mm-hmm. So you are born because you are born. It's happened. The love of your parents brings you to life, and finally, you go through life, and it arrives that day, which of course we all fear. Is a big incognita. Is a big question mark. What it is after, you know. And if you are a believer, if you think that exactly is going to be the day of the judgment, in the Dies Irae, every time that I study Dies Irae, I can see everybody that I know on earth, every person that I know, and I can see that you will be able, by God's power, to see everybody. And it's going to be a day that we all will feel very naked. Then we will be able to recognize in front of each other all our sins. And God is going to be there. And he's going to give us that possibility in that moment. Now, that's something to fear.
Now, you feel this during the Dies Irae?
I feel it during the Dies Irae. I really feel that that's the last day. Is the Giudizio Universale. Is the day that God will be, you know, we will be in front of him, you know. This is a real moment. I mean, death is something that I guess everybody fears. The most you live, the most you are aware that you have less years to stay here, and also you try in certain way to accept it. I think the most wonderful thing in life is to have accomplished something that is important, is really to accomplish something that make you happy. And when you have a full life and a wonderful family and everything going for you, you are so thankful. And if you believe in God, you said, God, I mean, I really want still to go on, but I do understand how much you have given me already, you know. So it's going to be a day. It's going to be a day, and that's it. And that's destiny, and you cannot stay 1 minute more or 1 minute less.
I know you're a soccer fan.
Yes.
It is sometimes said over the years that great athletes actually have two deaths. There's the one that we all have, which is final mortality. But then there's the one that comes earlier, when they can no longer do what they used to do. Is that true for great singers, too?
I think in a way it can be. And I think that nobody's happy about ending a career. But I think I'm blessed in that way because, of course, I have the conducting. And also my responsibility as the artistic director here in Washington and also in Los Angeles. So that makes me live in the theater where I start living when my parents, they have their own company. So I think in that respect, I'm lucky. Of course, I'm not looking forward for the day that I will have to stop singing, but it's going to happen. I'm approaching my 3,000 performance is going to happen in Japan with the Metropolitan Opera. It's going to be a performance of Samson and Delilah. And, you know, it's 3,000 performances That's more than two careers. I mean, yeah. What else can you ask?
Maestro, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.